Welcome to Mavs Land. It's Monday morning here in Dallas. This is your host, Isaac Harris of the Dallas Mavericks, Studio 41. And man, we're streaking right now. What about those Mavs, baby? I mean, we were just a week ago saying that these Kings games that were coming up were the most important games of the season. They swept those two games in Sacramento. We got a few things to talk about that game. But then on Easter Sunday, Houston Rockets on their own winning streak. Jalen Green popping off lately. And Dallas is like, yeah, we don't care about any of that. We got this. There's a reason why we're playing the way we are. And yeah, Rockets streak is over. Dallas wins again. I mean, vibes. If the vibes were great last week, vibes are, I don't even know, off the charts right now. But before we talk about any of the games, I want to talk about some magic. All right. So, and I don't want to talk about the Orlando Magic. I don't want to talk, even though I love the Orlando Magic right now in the East. Great basketball. Maybe my favorite team in the East. Don't know. I don't want to talk about the Prestige. Although it's a great movie, great, great movie, great ending too. Or Now You See Me, not that magic. I don't really understand how that got a second movie, but whatever. Maybe you watched like magic videos growing up and it was like David Blaine or Chris Angel. Just wild videos. So I'm like, I don't even know like what to comprehend whenever I'm like watching some of these videos, because when magic happens, You first like need a skill to pull it off, right? Like you got to be able to pull it off. It takes all these practice to be able to pull a certain magic skill off. Or you also need like the circumstance in which to pull it off. Maybe you're performing at a certain place or a venue, and there's a crowd there, and it's like, all right, there's one thing to pull off a magic trick by yourself, but there's another thing to pull off a crazy magic trick when you're in front of a ton of other people. You also got to have the things to actually perform the magic trick, right? Like a classic magician. I think back to the classic Christmas show of Frosty the Snowman and the magician who has the hat and the bunny. In order to pull off the magic trick of the hat and the bunny, you have to have a hat and a bunny. And, you know, it takes these things. It takes practice. It takes a circumstance to be able to pull it off. It takes things like the hat and the bunny to pull off a crazy magic trick. But the thing you can't measure and the thing you can't figure out as a magician is, do you have the willingness to pull off the trick? Do you have the, for lack of better terms, for if we want to say, I don't even know how to describe another term. Let's just go for it. You have to have the balls in order to take the shot. And that's just figurative, right? Figurative language. Because how many magic tricks out there have we never seen before because they were never tried? Or how many magicians were never great because they never tried the unthinkable? And I think about that. I think of magic and a magician because we always hear about Luka Magic. And on Sunday against Houston, Luka showed why he's one of the best magicians in the world. All right, so we got to show this one clip. Luka pulled off a clip that is, I mean, a shot. You're like, whoa. It's very seldom nowadays, if you've been watching Luka for his whole career, that Luka pulls off a shot that you're like, oh, that's crazy. Never seen that before. Because you feel like you've seen Luka do so many crazy things. And lo and behold, we have this Luka shot in the third quarter.
To have any answer whatsoever.
Well, they're not the Lone Ranger in that regard. Luka has done this to many teams this year. What?
What? Mark Followell. I love that reaction. He's the GOAT. He's the best. Look, like, who tries that? Like, you have to have the willingness to be able to attempt this, to even go for a shot like this, the finger roll, scoop, leaning right, one-handed, I'm going to just like throw this up there. Luka post game is like, yeah, I mean, it felt pretty good when I shot it. I'm like, come on, stop it, Luka. Like, quit making us mortals look dumb over here. And you're like, yeah, it felt pretty good, you know, shooting a little finger roll from the 3-point line in the, you know, hardest basketball league on planet Earth. But, you know, it felt pretty good. It's just fun out there. It's like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go order me some Jimmy John's tomorrow. It's like, bro, he's doing some of the craziest magic tricks on some of the biggest stages for a sport. And it's just insane to think about. You know, it's the third quarter. If you didn't get to see the game, hopefully you've seen the highlight by now. It's the third quarter. They're already up by 23 at this point. And, you know, they've been dominating Houston for, you know, the first half. It's second half. The shot clock's running down. Jabari Smith's on him, which I'm a fan of Jabari Smith as far as like what his trajectory. There you go. Got the word right. In the league. And he's a good defender, super tall, 6'10". He's guarding Luka. And can you imagine guarding Luka? I love one of my favorite things to watch and to observe is opposing teams' body language. Whenever Luka pulls off one of these dumb shots, all right, like a dumb, like this dumb shot, a finger roll scoop shot from the 3-point line. And just to see the defeat on their face of like, he did it again. I tried. It's like, or the, it's typically the, you've got to be kidding me. Look, like if you typed in, you've got to be kidding me on the GIF bar, GIF or GIF, you decide on your phone. That this, like these reactions would pop up. You see the bench, you see some of the coaches, you see Jabari kind of hang his head down. It's like, bro, I get it. Like, I would do the same thing. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. I would say something to Luka going back down the court. I'm like, you really pulled something like this off. And you just got to have the willingness to try it. And you think about, you know, you think about Luka in this moment. Luka had to have the skill to pull this off. He's one of the most skilled basketball players we've ever seen. He, of course, had to have this moment there in Houston playing his basketball game. He had to have the ball to make it happen. He had to have all of these things in place in order for him to pull this magic trick off. But what sets Luka apart, I think, from so many of the rest of his peers is his willingness to take shots like this, to provide us all into this like glimpse into what magic looks like on the basketball court. And that's why, man, as Mavs fans, we get to see magic happen all the time. We've been spoiled to see Luka Magic do his thing. And we had another example of that in Houston. All right. Speaking of Luka, let's just stay there. You know, we never really talk about Luka much if you cover the Mavs. So let's give him, you know, his due here. Let's talk about Luka. All right. Luka had one of the most savage moments the other night. So obviously they beat Houston. They also beat Sacramento twice this past week, and which was huge games. You know, as I said at the beginning, that we'd all been kind of looking forward to in regards to seeding and playoffs and all that stuff. So Luka had, I think he's had a lot of savage moments, right? Where he's talking trash to fans. He's talking trash to players at some big moments and all this stuff. But I think this goes down top five, maybe top three of just savagery when it comes to Luka. And I'm going to try to throw up a tweet here. Let's go with it here. So this is Sean Cunningham. Isaac, who's Sean Cunningham? I don't know. Probably should know, but you know what? This was going around on Twitter, so had to pop it up. Or X. Sorry. Not sorry. His tweet, if you're not watching on YouTube, I have it pulled up. It says, Luka Doncic, as he puts away the Kings tonight in Sacramento with his final free throw, then, as the final horn sounds, waves goodbye to former GM Vlade Divac sitting courtside and says, he should have drafted me. Oh my goodness. I have so many different thoughts on this. All right. Because here, let me pull this off so you can see my face. I know all of y'all are dying to see my face again as your TVs just broke. All right. A few things about this. All right. Do you feel bad for Kings fans yet? No. All right. We're past that. So Kings fans have to watch Luka do his thing for already so far. Quick reminder, if you're kind of lost, 2018 NBA draft, that was Luka's draft. The Kings had the second overall pick in that draft. The first pick, Phoenix Suns, they drafted DeAndre Ayton. After his stellar career in Phoenix, he was shipped off to Portland, where he plays now, when the weather's good. And Sacramento, number two pick, decided to go with Marvin Bagley, who was running the Kings at the time. NBA legend Vlade Divac, who was sitting courtside at this game in which the Mavericks are playing last week. Why was he sitting courtside in a game in which Luka Doncic, the guy he probably should have, I'm trying to be nice, he should have drafted, was going to play in the game, in a high-stakes game. Why was he sitting courtside? I don't know. I guess just to catch some really good basketball. But you know what it did? It was a prime tee-up for Luka Doncic to see you and just probably see him all the game and be like, you know what? I'm going to remind you again. You should have drafted me. Hallelujah. They get the song, all right? The classic song by Isaac Lee and Jason Gallagher that Kings fans got, you know, they have to listen to that. They had to see that. I try to think about it this way. Obviously, Luka is not Michael Jordan. That is safe to say. We're just getting that out of the way. But now you're like waiting. Where is he going with this? You ready to clip it? Can you imagine being a Portland Trailblazers fan when they took Sam Bowie and having to watch for a decade MJ doing his thing? Obviously, Luka's not going on a tear right now, winning three-peats and multiple titles and all of this stuff. But being a Blazers fan, seeing them take Sam Bowie and then having to watch MJ's reign over the league had to be a tough, safe to say. They did have Drexler and all the stuff, and you know, they eventually had some fun young guys and Rasheed Wallace and Zach Randolph and stuff, and yeah, it just would have sucked. So anyway, Kings fans have to see that. So I do feel for him when it comes to that, but this is just an ultimate savage moment from Luka, and I don't think you can like really ignore it. I think it should get more attention than what it is. It's just wild on the Kings floor too. Like, I was just laughing. I'm like, dang, Luka, I know you got a lot in you as far as talking some smack and having some fun with it and entertaining. That was a different level of savagery. And you know what? I'm kind of here for it. I think it's kind of fun. Let's keep going. What else do we want to talk about? Speaking of this Houston win, I mean, let's talk about where the Mavs are at right now. Hottest team in the league? I think so. I mean, it's really hard to argue it. They're 9-1 over their last 10 games. Who's the only other team that's 9-1 over their past 10 games? You guessed it. The Houston Rockets. Who did they lose to? Dallas Mavericks, ding, ding, ding. You got it. Mavs are winners of 7 in a row. Get this. They've only lost 6 games since February 5th. 6 games. Today is April 1st. I should have planned an April Fool's joke. So if you're listening to this early Monday morning, then don't forget. Today's April Fool's. That's your warning. If anything happens today and people tried to prank you or any crazy news given to you, just be a little skeptical, all right? They've lost 6 games since February 5th. They're 19-6 over their past 25 games. And here's the best way for me to kind of describe them. They've kind of become like a chameleon. Like they can shift into, we talk all the time, and I love to say this all the time. And it's like a broken record at this point. Good teams got to be able to win different ways. You can't have one single path in which this is the way you're going to win basketball games every single time is Luka scores 43 points every game. And that's how we win. That's just not sustainable. Or we're going to shoot 58 three-pointers a game and we have to hit 30 of them every time, every game, or 26 of them every game for us to have a shot at winning the game. It's not like that. Now Dallas is like this chameleon to where now they can change in their environments. They could change based off matchups. They can change on the fly. They can change with injuries. And that's what's so special about what this team is looking like right now, that we're seeing them win games in so many different ways compared to what felt like, I felt like I was talking, using the same talking points for like multiple years for Dallas, as far as like, hey, they got to upgrade these role pieces. Hey, this is the style offense we're running. Oh, well, pace is never going to be up. This is what we do. This, 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 and this. And it's always been the same thing for like a few years now, to where now I kind of have to like wake up. I'm like, am I like in a bad, not a bad dream. Am I in like a good dream right now? Do I need to like wake up and be like, wait, we're winning games with rebounding. We're winning games with, because rebounds do matter. Don't let people tell you they don't. Like over the past 10 games, they're top five in rebounding. Of like, what's going on with this? Luka has a legit number two option that takes over in the second half. Like second half, Kyrie is arguably my favorite player in all of basketball right now. Like what Kyrie is doing in the second half is just unbelievable. Him in the fourth quarter, like just to have another reliable star, second guy, Batman, Robin, however you want to say it, Superman, Batman. That's, you know, the most fun way of saying that. But like Luka has a legit number two. They're top five in rebounder over the past 10. Their pace is fast. Who are these Mavs? Like, what are we watching? This isn't the Mavs that I'm used to. And that's awesome. Like you also look at the past 10 games, they're 12th in 3-point percentage over the past. So around middle of the pack over the past 10 games. Yet they're 9-1. They're 13th in free throw percentage. So it's not like they're just, hey, they're, I don't know, they're Zach Edey out here just shooting a million, you know, free throws, and they're gonna, you know, that this is the way they're winning games, is because Luka's scoring 22 points a game because he's attempting 58 million free throws a game. It's not how that is working either. So they're winning games these different ways while still being able to, like we've seen just a few games ago, get hot from three, because they're going to have all these open threes, and when the shots are going down, it's like, all right, we still have this way to win. You know what? We still do have Luka and Kyrie, in which we're going to have games in which they combine to score, you know, 74 points in a game. You're like, well, that's pretty good if we can get that out of these two guys. Do you have to ask them to do that every single game? It'd be really nice if you didn't. And that's the spot they're in right now. It feels like, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, no joke, this is a Mavs podcast on the Dallas Mavericks podcast network, and he is just overhyping the Mavs all the time. What? I don't know what else to say right now. I don't know how you can really be a skeptic right now in this moment, because I think they're the hottest team in basketball. Like they're looking the best as any team in the league right now. And that is fun as a Mavericks fan. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on here and hype that sucker up, because I've been covering the Mavs pushing 10 years now. I think it's 8.5, 9, somewhere through there. And I've definitely had some moments that was not as fun to turn on a camera and talk about. So I'm going to enjoy it right now. So Mavericks right now, hottest team in the league. They just beat the Rockets. And now let's pull up the schedule. If you're in front of a computer, you can pull up the schedule right now, because you know what? You know what your boy didn't do? I didn't load the schedule into the stream here or the show. So now I'm going to Mavs.com, the official website for the Dallas Mavericks, and looking up schedule, because I think this is the best. We got the best schedule in all of networks. You know, no one shows the teams and times and schedule like Dallas does. So, or the Mavs.com does. So coming up on Tuesday at the Warriors. So we play this is like the Kings 2.0 this week, all right? Warriors on Tuesday, Warriors on Friday, just like the Kings last week, except this time, this is the weird part of this like road trip for Dallas, okay? So they went to Utah last week, second night of a back-to-back, they flew to Sacramento, had 2 days off in Sacramento, played again in Sacramento, then flew to Houston, so do your geography here, California to Texas. Now Texas back to California to play one game against the Warriors, And then you're going to fly back to Texas to play the Hawks on Thursday. And then you have this back-to-back on Thursday and Friday. Hawks Thursday, Warriors Friday. We know where what the Warriors are doing right now. The Warriors are We know what the Warriors are trying to do right now as far as they are fighting with the Rockets to be in that play-in spot. Because right now, after the game against Houston last night on Sunday night, where did Dallas move up in the standings? Dallas moved up to, this is pretty wild to think about. They're tied with New Orleans right now. They're moved up to fifth. So they're above New Orleans. They hold the tiebreaker. Fifth. That's crazy to think about where Dallas was just a few weeks ago. But that's what a 9-1 stretch will do for you, and winners of seven in a row. So Golden State and Houston. So there's two game difference between Golden State and Houston. So Golden State is trying their hardest to cling on to that last spot there in the play-in. So they desperately need these games. Dallas has two of those games. So Dallas could kind of help Houston out this week if Dallas goes in and win both of those games against the Warriors. And of course you got the Hawks there on Thursday. Hawks have been in kind of a weird spot. They're 4-1. No, not 4-1. Sorry. They're 5-5 over the last 10. DeJounte Murray took, 68 shots the other night in a game, but he hit a game winner against Boston. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah, we'll see what happens in that game. I'm taking some family to that game. My father-in-law, he's never been to a Mavs game before. So we shall see how this experience is. Should be fun. And my kids, sounds like a blast. Let's do a little quick hitters here at the end. Probably going to do a little quicker show today. It looks like quicker show. I wanted to go off at the beginning just because it's such a fun time right now. But yeah, let's do some quick hitters here at the end. All right. Dante Exum. So here's one of the tougher parts. Obviously, if you know me, I did Lockdown Mavs for a little over 6 years and doing a daily podcast. All right. Like, I think we did close to 2,000 episodes, daily podcast. You're talking about every single moment, every single game. So now I'm like adjusting to this weekly format of this new show here with the Mavs that's coming out every Monday, to where now games feel like kind of old and like past for me. And so I have all these notes from the Kings games and stuff. And I'm like, or even that Jazz game feels like forever ago, but like I have all these notes on the Dante Exum game. And I'm like, well, dang, that feels like an eternity ago. Are people still care about this game right now? We just played the Rockets. That's the only thing that feels like it care, you know, matters right now. So anyway, I do want to say this. Some quick hitters at the end. Can we pull one out for Dante Exum? I always want every late game shot to go in for the Mavs. And there's a lot of players I'm like, man, that'd be great for. In this specific moment, Dante had missed multiple shots there. I think he even had like a costly turnover too. And I just instantly felt bad. I'm like, dude, it's not going to be able to get online in any format at all, any medium, or even check his phone for like a couple of weeks. All right. If this game ends in a loss and it's because he's just missing all these shots. So when he gets that open shot for the third shot and he shoots it, I'm like, please go in. This will just be, please. And it goes in, and dude, I celebrated so dang hard for the Dante Exum 3. If you told me that a year ago, it's like, hey, you're going to come up off your couch because Dante Exum hit a 3 for the Mavericks, I'd be like, what? What? Who wrote the script? Like, what in this game? And I was just so happy for him. It's a testament to him, his confidence. It's a testament to the team of like, hey, just keep shooting. There's some great quotes at, you know, in post game coming out of that, just showing you more of the chemistry of this team and just how much they believe in each other, and how like almost like, hey, he missed a couple shots there, a couple wide open threes. It doesn't matter. Like, the ball's still going to find him and we still want him to shoot it. Like, that's the stuff you want in a team and teammates. And I don't know. I just really love that moment. Tony Kukoc, Nikola Jokic takes. I don't know where I'm at with, you know, there's a lot of stuff flying around. I was a big fan of Tony with the Chicago Bulls. I thought, man, it was just so much fun seeing him play with Jordan, Pippen, and those guys. And then I had a special moment personally to meet and talk with him at Dirk's Hall of Fame enshrinement up in Springfield, Massachusetts. And I was there on like the red carpet. So at the Hall of Fame, they have the red carpet that, you know, everybody walks into. The who's who of like anybody in the NBA world is walking, it will walk down this red carpet. There's different media entities and companies and interviewers and news outlets to where, like, if the people, it's not just players. I mean, it's players, current players, ex-players, I mean, coaches, NBA legends. I was just like a little kid out there. I'm like, wait, that's this person. That's this person. And that's, I was just like, and Tony Kukoc like walks down the red carpet. I'm standing on the side and he stops and he's like talking to somebody else that's next to me. And I'm like, I'm next to freaking Tony Kukoc. So finally I was just like, hey, can I ask you a few questions about Dirk? And you just got to be bold in some of those moments. And you know, I'm like, what's the worst thing he's going to do? No. And then what? The next time I see him, he's going to be like, that's the guy who wanted to ask me about Dirk. When am I ever going to see Tony Kukoc again? So we sat there and talked for a little bit. You know who's great? Tony. He was awesome. Like, he was, I'm going to use first name. I'm going to act like we're friends. Don't care. He was so fun to talk to about Dirk and just, I mean, had the utmost praise for Dirk and just said all the stuff about him when he first heard about him, when he first saw him play for the first time as a kid, all this stuff. And it was just incredible. So then I saw this quote the other day and I was like, all right, Tony, I wish I could like talk to you right now, but like, where? So just look up the Jokic, quote that he had. He was basically asked about Jokic and he was like, yeah, he's, you know, statistically it's awesome in what he's doing, but he's not on the same like level as Vlade and Dino. And so you just gotta look at that. Jokic is better than those two guys. So there you go. A couple last things here. Have I listened to the new LeBron pod? LeBron and JJ Redick. I've heard some great things. Chopper in the studio has told me some great things about it. Have I listened to it yet? No, because if I wanted to listen to someone talk about themselves that much, I'll listen to a Kim Mulkey press conference. Lastly, this week is a big week. This week, we heard sayings like, he is risen. We heard sayings like resurrection. We heard sayings like raised to life. Just strong, powerful statements. And of course, you know me, we're talking about none other than Glenn Taylor. Guys, we'll be back again next week, next Monday, for another episode of Mavs Land. We'll see how the Mavs pull it off this week with a couple games against the Warriors, game against the Hawks, and we'll see how long they can keep this streak going. I'm Isaac. Back to you, Miriam. Peace out. Boom. It'd help if I hit the outro.